to have, you know, really enjoyable type professional work relationships with. Does that make sense? I mean, do you see that? That is the truth. Sometimes we get insulated and we think, oh, I've got to go to my job, I've got to make another phone call, oh, I've got to do this, right? And it's like, keep it in perspective. It's very difficult. It's very easy to lose perspective sometimes because still, you know, there's always the bottom line task, and that is I got to pick up the phone, I got to call somebody and sell them into something or sell them something, right? And sometimes we could lose sight of what it is that we actually have, and it becomes monotonous. And let me tell you something, when that happens, it's because we have lost perspective of what we really have the availability to do, what we really have the type of what we do for a living. Just if you step out of it and step into what the alternative is, contrast it to what the alternative is, all of a sudden, you know, one day what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a professional salesperson, that is a vendor, come in like these guys who sold us the software package, right? Mondo or whatever they're called. You know, that team had our team that was listening to all these vendors. We might have had, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 different companies come in and do their dog and pony, right? And it never was about that salesperson. It never was anything about that salesperson. They could have turned on a tape recorder, because all really it was is, can your product and service do the job, and are you more affordable than this one? That's all it came down to. Right? So I want to have a professional vendor so you can hear what their day is, what their life is. And then you can tell them what you do for a living. The financial opportunities that you have. And I guarantee you they will quit their job that day and want to come join. I guarantee it to you. Right? That's professional sales now. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse. Right? Because what's happening is that it's getting, the dollar is getting, companies are getting tighter and tighter and tighter with their dollars. And they want you to cut your margins. They want you to cut your margins and pass that savings on to them. So, keep in mind two things. Number one, the extraordinary opportunity that we have to have the kind of really enjoyable conversations. How would you like every single day of your life to have to wake up, get dressed, go drive somewhere, get stuck in traffic? You got an 8 o'clock, you got an 8:30 meeting across in North County somewhere. You live down in Mission Valley. See, I'm getting good with the G, with knowing. Oh yeah, I may be dumb, but I sure ain't smart. All right. Now, so you got to wake up, you got to get dressed, and then here you are. You're sitting in there. You got to walk into this room. You don't get a chance to meet these people. You don't know who these people are. You walk into a room of strangers, and boom, now you're on, and you get to talk about software systems all day long with stupid little, you know, these flash presentations, right? How boring is that? I looked at these people. I was watching these people give this thing, and I'm saying, these poor people are dead, man. They're just dead. I just felt real sorry for this sales team, because they're trying to act all smart and all refined and sophisticated and blah, blah, blah. And the women were trying to act like men, and the men were trying to act like women. And it's all this, you know, nobody being authentic. Right? Everybody rigid and stiff and complimentary and very nice. That's about what you're doing. Are there any questions? And I looked at these poor bastards. And I said, the stress, the internal stress, that must come up, because you don't know, you don't know, because you know, I could give the greatest presentation in the world. I could look the best in the world. I can, you know, my company's the greatest. You know what it's all going to get down to? It's all going to get down to price. That's all it's going to get down to is price. And guess what? I do not have the availability to negotiate. Price. I can't do it. So I'm going to give you the price, and you're going to say what?
Thanks, I'll think about it.
Thank you very much. We certainly appreciate it. Okay, we really appreciate the work that you put into it, and we find, you know, I've heard Bob Wells do it every time. You know, and we, you know, we're encouraged. We're encouraged by your presentation. Right?
That's right. That's the kiss off.
I'm a closer, man. Give me some meat. You're encouraged? That's like feeding a smoothie to a lion. You're encouraged? Encourage this. Here. Show me how much you're encouraged. Sign this. But you can't do that. You gotta stay polite, stay in your little role. You gotta pack up your little electronic showmanship, your dog and pony show. You gotta grab, everybody's gotta grab their laptops. They all come in with laptops. Everybody's gotta grab their laptop, and they all go get back in their Ford Escort. The five of them. You think we did okay? Yeah. I think we're gonna get this one, you? You want to go to Subway for lunch? Yeah. Can anybody spot me lunch today? That's their reality. That's their reality. You think I'm kidding, huh? So let me tell you something. Sales rules. We have the beautiful opportunity to be closers. We can close at will. People want to speak to us at a level that is so much more authentic, more human, more real. We're able to engage in conversations that are liberating, that are not inauthentic, that are unhuman conversations. I mean, this is inhuman to have to talk about software systems all day long. You know, I went to this training, this Miller Hyman sales training, and there was like 25 of us in the room. And I was the only person that actually was not a vendor. All 24 of these people were vendors, where they had to submit requests for RFPs to purchasing agents or to the board so that they can consider it in their budget. And I talked to this one guy, he sold to nuclear reactors. And I asked him, I said, just out of curiosity, how long does it take for you to get to a decision maker? 3 years. From the initial RFP, request for a proposal, to the time that he actually works his way up so he can get past the layers, it's 3 years into the deal before he talks to the decision maker. How long before you actually sign a contract? 2 additional years. This is a 5-year cycle, man. 5-year cycle before he can sell. Maybe sell somebody something. There's no guarantee at the end of 5 years. That's just at the end of 5 years they decide whether or not, because at the end of 5 years they may decide, hey, we want a 20% reduction on price.
Or it's obsolete.
Or it's obsolete at the time. Which, by the way, he told me that most nuclear reactors are extraordinarily obsolete. But anyway, dangerously obsolete. But anyway, it's like, oh my God. Two questions these kids had. And I call them kids because they were all a lot younger than me. They were all in sales, and I just said, these poor bastards. Right? All college educated, all had their, you know, their nice Sears and Roebuck suits on. their nice Payless shoes, and they're all shiny. They all had their nice little pens, and they were exchanging business cards, and it was just so sickening. Two questions they had. How do I get to a decision maker? How do I close a deal? These two questions were never answered. The whole 2 days of the Miller Hyman training, right? Just had lunch with Bob Miller, who originated the Miller-Hyman training. He's now has a company here called Miller-Williams. They're just something a lot more sophisticated now. But anyway, these two questions were never answered. It was all process, the strategy and process of getting to a decision maker, identifying key decision makers, identifying internal champions, identifying internal allies, and identifying internal enemies, identifying your pipeline for the lead general. Oh, so ridiculously systematic, so administrative. It's like, this is what sales is? It's like, now they put chains everywhere on a salesman so that he is nothing but a glorified administrator and a walking vending machine, right? And that's what sales is transforming into in the outside world. And as economic conditions get even more and more difficult, the Dow's about to go under 7,000. Right? There's a psychological barrier with the stock market. Bob Prechter, there's a lot of people, a lot of very knowledgeable people out there that don't see really good times ahead economically for the world. Right? Let me tell you something. That is so good, and I'll tell you why it's good. It really is good. You always want to be the last man standing in a fight because you get everything. You walk away with everything. You loot the dead, you take the booty, you take the prize, it's all yours, and you walk out the door, and that's what we want to be. We want to be the last man standing in that fight. And the reason why we will be is because we have the one thing that they don't have, which makes us the most extraordinary sales force in the country, and that is, we have the psychological resource that no other sales organization has. And that's all it's about, is the psychological resources. If you have the psychology, right, understand something, up until this day, even with the dot-coms, there were still more millionaires that were created in the Great Depression than any other time in American history. Right? There is opportunity in devastation. Whatever financial thing may hit, whether it be war, whether it be anything, if you know, if you are aware of what it is that's causing people, causing the circumstances to do what they do, and you can speak powerfully into that, you will still get people to spend, because people will still always spend money, and people still always have money. It's just the conversations that get people to spend money in prosperity are ineffective. It's the inappropriate conversation to have in difficult financial times. You would not have the same conversation with your teenager that you had with him or her when she was 6 years old, would you? And generally, by the time they're a teenager, the economic situation and just their life situation is a lot more volatile. It may be more complex. It may be, you know, teenage years are very difficult for both the teenager, especially for the parent, right? You expensive, and you've got to have a different conversation. But isn't it true that you can have an effective conversation with that teenager? But not if you talk to them like a five-year-old. Not if you tell them, you can't do this, young lady, you get to your room, I'm the boss here, it's my way or the highway, I gave you life, I'll take your life, you know, all the things that my mother told me. You can't have those conversations and be effective. All you're going to do is create a rebellious monster that's going to end up becoming a sales manager one day. The beautiful thing is because of our ability, our inclination now to be able to get into awareness, we have that neuro-associative conditioning now. We understand the relevance, the importance, the urgency of stepping into awareness and taking an assessment of what's really going on. right? I had a real estate agency, just again to bore you with another story. I had a real estate agent on the phone yesterday. She is with the Coldwell Banker Beverly Hills Real Estate Group, right? They sell the most expensive property in the country, right? The, I don't know, maybe in the world, is, you know, in the neighborhood, but anyway. So she was calling me and telling me how ineffective her FSR meeting was. It's like, okay, it's great. And I understand why it was ineffective. Because they have a very, very sophisticated, very complex situation going on in real estate right now. And that is that people are in so much uncertainty, people are not wanting to sell their house because they think that they've got to give it away too low, or whatever, people are not willing to spend money to buy a house. So what's going on right now is real estate agents are trying to use the same conversation that they used in prosperity. In a climate that is uncertain and operating from a psychology of scarcity. And it ain't working. And nobody's selling. And all of these Beverly Hills top gun, intellectual, sophisticated real estate agents are going broke. Because they can't sell. And what's really killing them, what's really the crusher, not only are they feeling this, not only are they dying, but here comes the death blow. The clients are now posturing themselves in such a way that they are talking down to real estate agents and talking so disrespectfully and being so demanding of real estate agents that their whole psychology is crushed, man. They're in so much uncertainty. They're in so much insignificance. They're in so much disconnection with the client because, you know, you're walking around with $10 million in your pocket and you know $10 million is coming around the road, you're going to treat your real estate. Hey, man, let's go buy the biggest, baddest house I can buy. Come show it. Let's go grab a little lunch, too, at the Beverly Hills Hilton, blah, 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 blah. And they got, you know, they've really dug that. That's been going on for a lot of years with them. And now they basically are vendors. Here's the deal. What's your name?
Skip.
Okay. I'll never call you Skip because I don't care what your name is. The truth is that I got less than $2 million to spend on a house. Go find me one. That's now the conversations that they're having. I was on the phone for 45 minutes. Right? And I don't want to hear that. Please don't try to put me into this. Don't try to sell me into this. Blah, blah. I mean, they're just being, so now they don't have this connection. They no longer have their significance. And they're going broke, too, by the way. Can you imagine what their psychology is? Imagine how internal they are. Let me tell you something. It's such an extraordinary opportunity because these people, I called them, there were 150 people. So I called their manager and I said, look, here's what I want to do for you. Just because I realize that you guys have a situation that I know how to address. I am at my expense going to rent a hotel meeting room. I want you to bring all 150 of your agents there. I'm going to give you a 3-hour strategy session on me at no expense, and I'm not going to sell. Don't bring any money with you because I don't want you to buy anything. I won't sell it to you even if you want to buy it. I just want to unleash you people into the right psychology so you can go deal with what you got to deal with. Just gratis. No. I don't see any value in that, Jim. You know, call me in 6 months and we'll talk about it right there. But I don't see any value. This is the sales manager. I'm going. Okay. So you know, so I'm backing down. I'm playing the sales game. I said, okay, great. Listen, I see where you're coming from with that, right? There may be an alternative. I'll leave it up to you, right? Because I'm realizing this guy's trying to power position on me. I'll leave it up to you. So I went inferior to him. If you can imagine that, I'll leave it up to you.
Not really.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Don't let your ego get in the way of your brain. So I said, look, I'll leave this up to you, but one of the things that I can do is I can share with you, because listen, when I get an opportunity to learn personally from Tony Robbins, right? I'm trying to create some value here. I get a chance to hang out with Tony Robbins and learn his stuff and study his stuff. I'm his VP of sales, and what I can share with you are some of Tony's, now I'm trying to take me out of it, some of Tony's strategies of managing psychologies like this so that you can eliminate your frustrations, get your people into this powerful psychology and performance level so that you look like a genius on this whole thing. What if I come down and I spend 3 hours just with you and share this with you? Right? No, Joe. No. I said, okay, all right, fair enough. One last shot at this, Skip. Give me your worst people. People you're getting ready to fire. Your absolute worst people, the lowest people, people who hadn't had a listing in a month, let alone made a sale in a month. Give me that group. I don't care if it's two, I don't care if it's five, whatever it is. Give me that group. I'll work with them for 3 hours. And if you see that there's any significant, sustainable change in them, then you, at your leisure, anytime you want, can have this information brought to the rest of your group. Listen, Jack, what I want you to do is call me in a few months. All right, call me Jack now. All right, I'm always front. Look, if this door closes, I'm coming at you at five different doors, man. Always, it's how I sell. It's how I sell. I never just put one proposal on the table. I'm always coming at you with five different proposals. Because a lot of times I just wear you down and you just buy from me because you can't say no again. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a reciprocating element in there that you now you owe me because I've just given it, I made it so easy for you to buy. So I'm always coming with five different things. That's why, like I'm saying, like for example, if you're a par and you can't sell a UPW ticket, man, you sell them coaching. Huh? Selling product. Nobody gets off the phone without buying. They really have to expose themselves that they are dead. This guy exposed himself. He's dead. Jack, just look. I got your number. I'll give you a call. Yeah, good luck to you, right? Okay, I understand why he did it. I understand the whole thing, the whole process and everything. And really, what really needed to take place in order for me to have been effective, but I just didn't feel like doing it, is not calling on the phone, but basically just showing up there, meeting guy face to face, offer to take him to a nice dinner at the Beverly Hills Hotel, the Polo Club at the Beverly Hills Hotel, wine and dine the guy, schmoozing, right? Like, take him on a date, right? Romance the guy, tell him how great he is, how beautiful his eyes are, right? How smart he is, right? And then weasel my way into, you know, whatever it is that, you know, we needed to get done, right? That's what needed to take place. Right? So, but, I mean, I'm offering the guy a free deal, right? I mean, really, with no ulterior motive, but I just, because I spoke to the agent, she's been a Tony fan for 20 years. Right? She's got her kids on Tony's technology. She was really digging talking Tony's technology. She said, man, God, this is so much fun. I haven't done this until it's been like 10 years since I've been to an event. This is so fun. We need this thing. Do you realize you could have every agent in Beverly Hills coming to hear you talk about this? Everybody needs it. The whole blah, 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 blah. I said, okay, look, I'll just go do it, right? Beverly Hills, it's fine. Couldn't move the guy. I'm not finished with that son of a bitch.
Yes.
I'm not finished. Jack Miller. You tell me no, it makes me angry. It's like, okay. Okay. All right, Jack. So I'm not done with it. You see, because if I'm done with him, then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to be demonstrating what it is that's making his salesman fail. Because they get the no, the door shuts, they get discouraged, they go internal, they do the drinks, they pop a Valium, whatever they do at Beverly Hills. Okay. So I'm not finished with this guy. Right? I'm not finished with this guy, and I'm still going to. I think I'm gonna have to take this guy to lunch now. So I think that's what it's
going to
say. Jack on a date.
Jack going on a date. Get all spiffed up. Get a little boof in the air.
Bring him one too.
Jack millionaire.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, so. So the deal is now. Okay, imagine being a real estate agent out there with every listing that comes out. Here's what real estate agents have to do in Beverly Hills. They got to get on the phone and cold call and asking people if they want to list their house, or they got to go out knocking doors, asking people, "Would you like to sell your house right now?" Can you imagine? You're in Beverly Hills. You friggin' full of rush salesmen. That's what they got to do. She said, this is what we got to do. And the truth is that all of us now have gotten older. We just don't feel like doing it. We don't feel like knocking doors. We don't feel like telemarketing. We're Beverly Hills real estate agents, man. We're the cream of the crop. Right? So now, imagine they have this identity, but their reality is over here. How much stress is there? When your identity and your reality are not congruent. When your identity and your reality, it's another beautiful thing that we have. And this is what I was talking to the coaching department about yesterday. It's being congruent with your identity, right? Not only, forget about the fact that you're just going to triple and quadruple your sales, but you will be so powerful because you're so authentic. You are the embodiment of Tony Robbins' technology. You are a master of what it is that you sell. When you talk to people about time management, you are an expert at RPM. When you talk to them about health, you are an expert at the whole living health deal, the physiology, all the products, what they do. I mean, do you specifically know how the greens work? Do you know the chemical reason why the greens do what they do, and do you know everything what those greens do? Are you that intimately familiar with it? Right? Because if you're not, you are not yet powerfully authentic with what you do. Right? I went up to a guy, we were really obsessed about this. Okay, we were selling, here we were siding salesmen, right? We went up, DuPont chose our company, the only company chosen out of the country. DuPont was coming out with the premier, I mean, it was like the limousine of home improvement products. They wanted to start a line. They selected our company as the company to consult with and be the company that was going to test pilot this material. Right? So we went up to Delaware, myself, my boss, and one of my other colleagues. We went up there and we basically explained to them how to sell, how to market, what it is that clients are looking for in a product, blah, 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 blah. All right. So then I got to spend like about an hour with the DuPont chemist explaining to me the chemical makeup of PVC and why it does what it does and how it ages in specific environments, how salt affects it, how acid rain affects it, blah, 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 blah. So now we got this huge body of knowledge of the chemical characteristics of this product that we're able to, you know, I'm sitting with a client and I'm telling them all this wicked stuff about this. And here comes this other guy, and he says, "Isn't the green pretty up against your house, Miss Jones? Who's going to get the sale?" That's why the average sale nationwide was $5,000. Our average sale as a company is $20,000. Right? Because if you are an expert, if you are an authentic expert at what you do, if you know specifically what is going to take place at an event that you're trying to put somebody in, if you know specifically how that coach is going to coach that person into the specific area that they've identified. If you know specifically how wealth mastery now addresses the creation of wealth, addresses the accumulation of a savings that you can retire into, if you know specifically how all that works, if you know specifically how Sandy Botkin will save you, guaranteed, $5,000 on this year and last year's tax return, if you know specifically how he's going to do that, and you can speak to that with your client when you're trying to sell them, and just instead of saying stuff like, "Oh, Miss Jones, you're going to have so much fun and make so much money at Wealth Master, right? Isn't this green pretty up against the house, Miss Jones? Look how nice it goes with the purple overhang." But over here, you're talking about Sandy Botkin's tax-saving specific strategies that you can enumerate and have this dialogue with your customer. Who's going to make you say? You must be brilliant. You must be an expert at what you do. You must move into authenticity so that you can be powerful, so that you're not selling, you're not a vendor. You're not talking about how fun the UPW is. You're talking with specificity about the strategies of back technology, about the specifics of rapport building, about the specifics of what it is that's spoken at a UPW. Right? Becoming a student. Becoming a student of what it is that you sell is the key to becoming authentic with what you are. And this is a must. This is a must. This is not an option. It is a must. Right? Because let me tell you something. If you plan on being here as a career, you're going to be speaking into some wicked psychologies as time goes on. Economic times have gotten a lot more difficult. All you got to do is look at the price of gasoline. Unemployment is increasing substantially between this time last year and now. You take a look at the Wall Street Journal and just go down the headlines, you're not going to find any good news. They got a Wall Street Journal out there. I bet you if we open that thing and read that front page, you're going to find nothing but bad news. And all of this is the psychology. And you know why the media loves these times?
Slums.
One thing happens in bad economic times is that media, magazine, newspaper purchases, everything goes up. People love to hear about the bad news. See, because in the good news, in the good times, people don't like to hear about it because it ain't happening to me. I don't want to hear about it. They just get resentful. But bad things happen to everybody. The bad times happen to everybody. So they get this certainty. They get this connection. And it's like, oh, I'm glad that this guy who used to make 10 times more money, I'm glad that his house is being repossessed. I want to read about that. Chris Anderson's house repossessed. Yeah, let me pray that, baby. Right here. People love that shit. So, if you are going to powerfully sell into these times, these psychologies, with war looming over your head, right? You must become an expert. That's the only shot you got. So, yes, sir.
I just wanted to say that I think a great metaphor and example of that is if you drive up the 5 and there's just this rough, dead, gorgeous sunset over, you know, over the ocean and into the water and everything. People are zooming by, but when there's a car accident, you're trying to stop and see what happened to the car accident.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Or after the fact, on the side where the car accident didn't even happen because everybody wants to see it.
Now, here's the deal. There is one way to move into this, and that is to declare, to take ownership of an identity. Because if I do not take ownership of an identity, for me to say I'm going to do something, it may or may not get done, but trust me, there is a disconnect between that outcome and what I am, because all it is an action. It is a verb. It has no emotion tied to it. It has no power. It has no identity. But if I say, I am, then all of a sudden, there's identity and the things get done with more powerful. It's not, I'm going to sell. It's not, I'm going to be the number one this, or I'm going to make this kind of money. No, it's first of all, what is my identity? If my identity is transformed into what it must be in order to achieve these verb-oriented outcomes, right? Then you got a prayer. Where people go wrong is they say, they move into what they say they're going to do without ever becoming that person. Right? So, for example, if you say, I want to get physically fit. Right? Without first becoming a person who is in the process of becoming physically fit. So what is I am? How do I take ownership of an identity of I am physically fit? What's the first thing that I must become? A physical fitness. A what?
Student.
Right, expert, student, at least a student. The first thing always is, in order to achieve extraordinary outcomes, is to become that student of what it is that you're looking to achieve. Who's that out there? Oh, okay. I didn't think that was yours. Student. I must become first a student so that I can become an authority, so I have awareness, right? So now I can move powerfully. I mean, it becomes, you know, an internalization. So I'm authentic. Right? So I'm on the right road. You know, if you want to get physically fit, you haven't been in the gym in 10 years or whatever the case is, and all of a sudden you want to get physically fit, and the first thing you do is go jump on a stair climber. How much time are you going to be on that stair step? 10 seconds, maybe, if you know how to turn it on. If you know how to turn the damn thing on. Right? And you will do what? You'll sabotage. You'll sabotage. You get discouraged. You go, sure, I could only do 3 minutes on this. Right? Realizing that the place to start is not on the stair step. Right? The place to start would be maybe on a treadmill, on a fast walk on a treadmill, and then gradually start getting an incline on it, right? And then also, if I don't know about proper oxygenation, you know, if I only drink when I'm thirsty, if I don't understand the purpose behind, you know, hydrating myself so that I can get oxygen, so I can breathe, so that I have a breath, right? If I don't understand all this, then what shot do I have to get my outcome? A lot less than if I understand, if I had become a student, an authority, if I was into awareness of everything, if I had this all internalized, if I was now authentic with what I was trying to get as an outcome, and I was down on the right road. So now, let's take this into your situation. Why is it that we got into what is our purpose statement? Because this must become an identity that we can become a student of, move, become an authority, get into an awareness and move into. Otherwise, get left behind. Right? It is a powerful movement. If you can speak authentically about the technology, about what it is you sell at every level, if you become a student, if all of a sudden you've got a master's degree in it, so that you can teach it, how much more powerfully would you be able to sell it? Trust me. It would resonate. It would resonate with power, congruency, certainty. You would no longer be internal. You'd be totally external and available to the client, driving them internal. I never want to be internal. It's all about me driving you internal so you can access emotion, so you can access your reasons for wanting to buy. As long as I allow you to be external, you don't buy. The reason why salesmen fail at what they do is because they're internal trying to think about what to say next, or they're internal trying to deal with the emotion, the disempowering emotion that the client just put them into, because they're unaware why the client just did that. They personalize it, and then they lose all their power. And now they're afraid to even say the next thing. Now they get timid, they get shy, they get weak, they don't want to piss the client off. The client just totally dissed them, the whole situation. Right? It was like this woman, again, my name is Sandy, she was telling me yesterday, she said, let me tell you an example of how Tony's tape helped me. She said, the other day I had one of the, there's three men in the music industry that own the music industry. Burt Bacharach is one of them. He owns the music industry. And two other guys. And so she was selling a house to one of these other guys, and she walked, it was a penthouse suite in Beverly Hills, and she was in there, and she was showing the guy the penthouse suite, and she said to the guy, isn't this one of the most extraordinary places you've ever been in? And he looked at her and he said, first of all, let me explain something to you. Don't tell me what extraordinary is. You don't know what extraordinary is. Right? So don't try to tell me what extraordinary is. All right, what do you think happened to her emotion? Her power, her significance, her certainty. Now, behind her, by the way, she can't pay her bills. Behind her, she has no sales this month. Behind her, she has her boss on her ass that you either sell or you're out of here. How much do you think that conversation kicked in all of this behind her? Am I right? Because she had no awareness. So what she did is she internalized it, she personalized it, she totally misinterpreted what was going on because she was unaware of the dynamic that was in play. Here is the dynamic. The dynamic is sometimes you just say the wrong things. Isn't this one of the most beautiful, you're being sincere, Jen, this is one of the most beautiful, okay, here comes Mr. Schmuck. It says, don't tell me what beautiful is, blah, 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 blah. Now, there's two ways to deal with this. One way to deal with it is the way that she dealt with it. She got crushed. Or the other way to deal with it is realize, first of all, this guy doesn't know me. Whatever statement this guy just said is nothing about me at all. This guy is just a pure significance junkie, right? That just gave me a look under his skirt. And now I know how to close you. You stupid bastard. You just gave me the keys to your vault. You now are mine. I own you. Because I know you are a junkie. And junkies have no control. They are controlled by. What is Mr. Junkie controlled by? Significance. So what am I going to push on Mr. Junkie? Oh yeah. Find the vein, baby, because it's coming at you hard. Right? And so now, who's powerful now? Look at the difference in the states. Of where she was instead of where she could have and must have been to make the same. right? Let me tell you something. The easiest people in the world to sell to are doctors, lawyers, and movie stars, or rock stars, or stars. Easiest people in the world to sell to. As long as you don't, but what the reason why we don't sell to them is because we internalize it. They have such a need to be superior that they crush us in the inferior, and we think being inferior is bad. They drive us inferior, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm insignificant. My life is shit. Oh, I'm going to kill my enemy. Give me a value. Blah, blah, blah. You know, because they don't realize sometimes being inferior is the best place to be to make a sale. It's okay to be inferior. There's a lot of power in inferiority. Right? It's like the emperor's new clothes. Oh, Mr. King, those clothes are, oh my God, you're stunning. You're a trendsetter. This is cutting edge. I mean, you're so beyond the world that people won't even be able to appreciate and recognize the extraordinary beauty and glamour and relevance and significance of this new wardrobe that you have the whole time the guy's naked, right? But he's skirting around, thinking he's got, you know. It's a great, great metaphor. It's a great analogy. Right? So, I must be who I say I'm going to be so that in every situation I know how to powerfully unleash so that I can sell in every situation. Because people are going to tell you, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I can't make a decision right now. And there are ways, if I understand why you said that instead of going back internal, because when they say, I don't have the money, first thing we do a lot of times we get internal and we try to come up with some conversation that's going to work, and how can I get you to change your mind about not having the money if I'm not aware of how to specifically deal with that? Until I become a student, until it's my identity, right? Where I have this extraordinary knowledge about everything that's going to go on, about what it is I'm selling, I can't be powerful and authentic. So, now, let's segue into our purpose statement. Because now we want to find out how it is that this purpose statement, this statement of purpose, what my identity must be, what I am going to move into powerfully, how I am going to be authentic with what it is that I'm moving into. That's the shot, that is the one shot that I got. Otherwise, I'm just going to show up the same person I am. And eventually that resource will run out on you. As times get more difficult, as the demands of your job become higher, the expectation level becomes higher, because everyone here, understand across the board, everyone here is expected to significantly improve. Everyone here. Everyone here is expected and will be held accountable to move into a much higher, profitable, powerful level of performance and revenue generation for yourself and then secondarily for the company. Everyone here, right? We must move into this so that we, as a sales organization, can be authentic with what it is we say that we're doing. And we must posture ourselves this way in preparation for 12 months down the road, 6 months down the road, 6 weeks down the road. We don't know. Anybody here know whether we're going to war or not? We don't know. And guess what? Neither does the world, and that's why they're not spending any money right now. That's why we must have conversations that are powerful to overcome their uncertainty and their resistance and their reluctance, right? Knowledge is powerful. When you are a master at the game, you're powerful because you're authentic. You are authentic, and that will resonate with you. People will move toward you. right? So, my statement, I can say I'm going to work out to get in shape, or I can say I am a physical fitness authority. I am a physical fitness authority. This is my new identity. Now, as this new identity and understanding the benefits of owning this identity, understanding the costs of not owning this identity, right? I already have that in play. I've already done that future pacing. I've already done that Dickens process on myself. Now, I willingly, powerfully, desiringly, emotionally, every resource that I have, every focus that I have, I am a physical fitness authority. As a physical fitness authority, I will be a student for life. By the way, when you become a master at sales and persuasion, you become a student for life. This is part of your identity. You never want to stop learning. You want to learn as much as you can. Right? So I am an authority. Now, okay, now let me get down some massive action steps that I can take. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to purchase Fitness Magazine. I'm going to purchase Muscle Magazine. I'm going to purchase